Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined again today by my colleague Alison Thompson, who is the head of the debt recovery department here at Sintons. And our podcast today is episode 7. Can't believe we're at episode 7 already, but it is episode 7 of our Understanding Debt Recovery with Alison Thompson podcast series. And today, Alison is going to talk about what we can expect when going to court with your debt recovery claim. Without further ado, straight over to the main event, to Alison. Alison, good morning and over to you.
Thanks, David, and good morning, everyone. Thanks again to everyone who has tuned in to these podcasts over recent weeks. As David has said, in this podcast, we are going to look at what we could expect to see when going to court with your claim. You're trying to give yourself the best chance of a successful outcome and ultimately win your claim. A good starting point is to ensure that you are fully prepared for the hearing. In the last podcast, I covered what the court may do before the hearing, but just to recap a little, the court will send you a form, and it's what we call a court order, which will tell you the date of the hearing and give you the instructions on what you need to do beforehand. You'll get at least 21 days notice of a hearing, and you'll also be told if you need to pay a hearing fee, and if you do need to pay that, when that needs to be paid by. If you're busy that day, then try to rearrange your plans. If you're going to be out of the country or it's something important like a hospital appointment that can't be changed at all, then you can ask the court to change the date under exceptional circumstances. But you may also be asked to pay another court fee when you ask the court to change the date. As I've said, the court will tell you within the body of the order what else you need to do and when. These instructions in the order form are called directions, and I cannot stress enough how important it is for you to follow these directions. If you don't, then you may have to pay extra costs. For example, if you don't provide copies of documents, you might have to pay the court to copy them. The judge could decide to delay or dismiss your claim if you have not followed directions. The court may also ask you to provide them with a witness statement before the hearing. A witness statement is a written document in which you tell the court what you want them to know about the dispute with the defendant. It's probably unlikely that you will have a witness in a small claims case, but if you do have a witness who has an important point that you want the court to know, then they will also need to make a witness statement. The court will also ask you to send copies of all the documents which you intend to rely on at the hearing, and also to send a copy to the defendant. You can only send documents to the defendant by email or fax if they agree to. So you need to ask them beforehand. And if they say they want them sent by email, then check if they need the documents sent in a certain way, for example, using a particular file format or size. And if you're sending your documents by post, then it's a really good idea to send your documents by recorded delivery and keep the copy of the proof of postage. If you get any documents which the defendants intend to rely on, then go through this and make notes on where you disagree with what they are saying. If you can find evidence or have a witness to prove that what they are saying is wrong, then you can send a copy of that evidence to them and to the court as long as you follow the rules for doing so. So we are now prepared and we need to get ready for going to court for the actual hearing. You should have already put in date order the originals of your evidence to take along with you to court, like the invoice, emails, notes of telephone conversations between you and the debtor. Make notes of the key points if you think that it will help you remember them. Let any witnesses know when they need to be at court. Tell the court if you or your witness will need an interpreter at the court hearing, and check with the court if you need help because of a disability. Currently, many hearings are being dealt with by the court by telephone due to COVID restrictions, but I'm going to talk a little about face-to-face hearings. Because as we see more lifting of restrictions, we will see face-to-face hearings increasing in number again. Small claims hearings are public, so there might be people watching. But in my experience, rarely public attend these types of hearings, and usually only the people connected to the claim will be there. These hearings are generally a little less formal. You'll be in a normal room and you'll sit separately from the defendant. The judge won't wear a wig or gown. make sure you and any witnesses are at court on time. If you're late, then the judge could delay or dismiss your claim. And obviously, if that happens, you might have to pay costs, for instance, the other side's expenses. If you're running late, telephone the court to let them know. Check you have all the original versions of your evidence with you in court. Reread your claim form and your witness statement, if you wrote one, to help you remember all the points you want to raise. The judge will have read all the evidence beforehand. They will probably ask you and the defendant to summarise your case and also ask you both questions. Or they could consider each of the points of disagreement in turn and ask each of you about it. Make notes of anything the defendant says which you think is wrong. You might not have very long to present your evidence, so make sure that you set out your case in as clearly and as concisely as you can. Sometimes you and the defendant will have a chance to ask each other questions. It's up to the judge to decide if they will allow you to do this. You won't find out until the day of the hearing, but it is a good idea to think of any questions beforehand that you might want to ask the defendant and to have these ready in case the judge will allow it. You can take a friend or relative with you for support. They're allowed to sit with you and can take notes if you think that would help you. They will not be allowed to speak. They only be allowed to speak on your behalf if the judge has specifically granted permission and said that they can. At the end of the hearing, the judge will give their decision. This is called the judgment, and the judge will briefly explain their reasons. The court will send a document to you and the defendant after the hearing confirming their decision. If you win, the judge will order the defendant to pay you. And just by way of an example of what the judge could award, or some or all of what you claimed, interest, if the judge has awarded that, expenses, for example, the fees you've paid to the court, and any fixed costs which you have put on your claim form. If you lose, however, you might have to pay some or all of the defendant's costs. If you disagree with the judge's decision, you may be able to appeal, but the court will only consider your appeal if the judge made a legal mistake. It is not sufficient to simply say that you disagree with the judge's viewpoint. You will have to appeal within 21 days of the court's decision, and you will also have to pay a fee to the court. The court will refuse your request for an appeal if they don't think you have a good chance of succeeding. If you're allowed to appeal, then the court will look at the decision the judge has made in the first hearing. The appeal will be based on the same evidence you gave in the first hearing. You won't usually be allowed to propose new evidence. Going back a little to the hearing itself, if you're feeling nervous about going along to your court hearing, then you might want to go along to one beforehand to get an idea of what happens. You can ask your local county court when there's one which you can sit in on, but of course at the moment they are probably unlikely to allow it due to the COVID restrictions. And in any event, as I've mentioned earlier, we are seeing a lot of these hearings currently being heard by, remotely by telephone. Our aim in these podcasts is to provide you with an overview of the process, and I hope that you're finding the information we discuss useful. But of course, if you have any questions at all, then please don't hesitate to contact myself or another member of the DET team here at Sintons. We are always happy to help wherever we can. Thanks again for listening, and back over to you, David.
Thanks, Alison. Appreciate that. We release webinars, podcasts, and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And that includes all the previous episodes of Understanding Debt Recovery with Alison Thompson series. You can also, of course, follow the Debt Recovery team on Twitter at Sintons Debt. If you'd like to discuss anything Alison's raised today further, as always, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her, as she just mentioned. Alison can be contacted 0191226 7878 or via email alison.thompson@sintons.co.uk. Episode 8 will be with you in about a fortnight's time. We very much look forward to speaking with you again. Just echoing Alison's comments earlier, we generally do appreciate the amount of people, actually quite staggering amount of people that are listening to this podcast series. We don't take it for granted. We are very grateful. We are glad that they are adding value to you. And whilst they're adding value to you, we'll continue to bring them to you. So look forward to seeing you for episode 8, and stay safe, everyone. Thank you.